I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel which comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning, students. Welcome to Discipleship 101. I'll be your professor, Dr. G. Thomas Martin, and I'm so happy that you found our classroom this morning and that most of you showed up on time. Before we start, let me lay some ground rules for class. First, please don't use your cell phones unless you're using it to read the Bible or to take notes or to share on social media something profound that the professor says this morning. Second, this class doesn't always have to be silent, though intentional listening is appreciated. Every now and then, someone may feel free to say amen, but hopefully you won't stop in the middle of my sermon to say, "Oh no." So as we begin our journey together at this class, Discipleship 101, it's always good to be reminded of why we sign up for this class in the first place, and why we might consider ourselves disciples. There are many places to begin this conversation, and many different reasons for why we could be here, but Luke's gospel this morning, the 14th chapter, gives us a good place to start. And the first lesson in Discipleship 101 is this: to remember that as a disciple, you are not the teacher, but a follower and a student in the seminar of God. Now, I realize that may be hard to swallow because more often than not, our society builds up the leaders who aim to change the world. But we must also and always remember that someone taught every leader at some point, and the knowledge built upon knowledge. And the best leaders are eternally curious students, not know-it-alls, not masters of everything, but eternally curious. So you are here in Discipleship 101 because you are eternally curious. And you want to know who the teacher is, not who the professor is, but who is the teacher? What's the source material for this class? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, the one who was born in a feeding trough and is also the bread of life at the same time. The one who caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the lepers to be cleansed. The one who eats with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. If we forget that Jesus is our leader, or if we take anyone else's voice more seriously than the voice of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we might as well close class right now and I can hand out F's on the way out the door. But if you're a follower, and if you're a disciple of Jesus, then you already know something about him. You know that Jesus liked to be on the move. He loved to travel. The high country, the low country, the middle country. You can find him in temples, upon mountains, in deserts, on boats, walking on water, eating meals with friends and with enemies. And today we hear that large crowds were traveling with him. Everyone wanted to be with Jesus. Everyone wanted to be Jesus. But we're not exactly sure if everyone wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus is on the move, and as a disciple, that means that our Christian life is migratory, it's transient, It's a journey, it's a pilgrimage, it's always progressing. The journey never stops even when we are tired, because Jesus never stops either. Sure, he takes rests to pray, but then he keeps on going. Earlier in Luke's gospel, we read that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you might want to know where Jesus is going on this journey according to the gospel of Luke. Well, back in that ninth chapter, we see that Jesus is going towards a cross in Jerusalem. Oh, that's not what I signed up for in Discipleship 101. Well, the good news is with Jesus, you always have a choice. You can drop, you can add, you can audit, or you could leave. But as a follower of a disciple of Jesus Christ, chances are you're heading to Jerusalem to the cross. You're thinking, wait a minute. It's too early in the academic year. This is a 101 course. This is some heavy stuff. Lighten up the load a little bit. But as your instructor this morning, I don't want you to be like that builder that Jesus talked about who began to build but was not able to finish. We should be able to finish what we start. Finish what began at your baptism when you or your parents took vows to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. When you took on vows or your parents took on vows for you at your baptism to make the faith your own at some point, a faith which is open to all ages and nations and races and all people. It's important to finish what we start, to finish what God began at your baptism, to run the race and cross the finish line. Now, that's really good advice for research papers and for sporting events, but it's difficult when you have the conversation with friends and family. Finish what you start, and Jesus puts it another way. If a salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? And just like salt can lose its savor, so our commitments can wane or fade over time. And we never really finish what we began in Christ Jesus. But the good news is that Christ Jesus will always finish the work begun in us. The journey with Christ is not a luxury vacation in a 5-star beachfront hotel. But the hope that we have in Christ is that we would count the cost of following him and discover that it is worth it when we run the course in faith. So when Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, it means that when you follow him, you will find yourself with a choice at the crossroads or the cross road. You can't call an Uber driver to take you there. You can't pull up Waze or Google Maps and find 3 different options: the scenic route, the highway route, or the route that takes you through neighborhoods you didn't know existed. Because sometimes the quickest and the easiest is not God's way. There's no app to help you discern God's voice. And when you come to a crossroads, you have to make a choice. And at the crossroads that we see in our gospel lesson this morning, there are 3 there. 3 different options that Luke draws our attention to. By this literary technique that Jesus deploys called inclusio, 3 times Jesus uses the refrain, "Whoever does not fill in the blank cannot be my disciple." So the first direction you can choose to take at the crossroads is the crossroads of life and love and family. And that sounds pretty good until you hear Jesus say, "Whoever does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Hate father and mother, brothers and sisters, diss and dismiss my family, hate life itself? I mean, it's nice to have some space from family, I guess, but to give up all of my family and this thing that I have depended on that has made me who I am, that's too much. Isn't there enough hate in this world? And here's where you can say amen for biblical scholars, because something got lost in the translation between Greek and English. What they mean in the Greek when they say hate is a hyperbole. It is not hate in the way that we think hate. It's a secondary form of love, to love less. It means following Jesus is more important than anything else. Hate means to turn away from, here in Luke's gospel, to detach oneself, to remove that which is not good, that which is not pleasing, that which is not God. And so when Jesus says, hate your family, he's not saying hate your family and be mean or cause fights, but he's saying love them less. And when he says hate life itself, it's not a call to self-loathing, to see yourself as a dirty, wretched, vile worm, unworthy of love or grace or truth, but rather it's to detach us from our false selves and to help us find our true selves in Christ Jesus. And there at the crossroads, at the road of the cross, you may discover who you really are and what you really desire and what you really believe. So there's another direction that you can take too, to hoard and protect and to love your possessions. After all, you've worked hard for them. You've earned it. You've pulled yourself up by your bootstraps to get it too. Now, possessions of themselves are not bad, but the love of them might be the thing that causes us to turn from the cross. And it may not even be love of possessions. It may be, in our academic setting this morning, a love of a way of thinking. After all, you worked hard for that education, put yourself through school, paid off your student loans, and now you've got degrees upon degrees to show for it. And yet Jesus says, whoever doesn't give up your possessions cannot be my disciple. So if you're possessed by your possessions, then what Jesus teaches us is very, very important and highly relevant this morning. Because in a previous parable, Jesus tells us about how invited guests to a dinner began to make excuses. Even earlier on in this 14th chapter today, the guest made excuses to not be with Jesus because of their land, because of their oxen, and because of their families. And the people in the story, in the parable, chose their economic and social security and well-being over the security of Christ Jesus. They were attached to their things, to their ways of life, and they missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime. Meeting Jesus at the crossroads of life provides us opportunities to become detached from some things in order to become attached to other things. And there's a third direction that you should follow in traveling with Jesus. And it's giving up certain things to grab a hold of other things. And at this crossroad, at this particular direction, there's no family system that's going to tell you how to move, to hold your hand, or to help you cross the street. There's no amount of possessions that are going to enable you to cross the road on your own. The possessions are not there to consume you or to own you. There is no safety except in the safe arms of Christ. And the path that Jesus walks is thorny, and it feels like splintered wood. And so we see that the crossroad is a road of the cross. For whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And there you are on the path. And the only thing that is left for you to carry is the symbol of a common criminal. Because remember in the story here in the 14th chapter of Luke, Jesus has not gone to the cross. Jesus has not made it to Jerusalem. Jesus has not died and been raised. And yet he says, whoever wants to become my disciple must take up their cross and follow me. He's using something that the empire, the Roman Empire, uses as fear and disgust, and says, this is your burden to bear. The weight of the cross. This crossroad is difficult, and it takes courage to finish what you have started, because it is easier to give up. It is easier to go in a different direction. It's easier to dig your heels in the sand and say, I will not change. You go ahead, Jesus. I'm fine from back here. But crossroads determine for us where we decide we really want to be in our future, in our relationships, in your careers, in your faith. And maybe it's an invitation not to give up family, not to give up life, not to give up possessions, but to choose the right family, to choose the right life, to choose the right possessions, and to know that all of them are found at the foot of the cross. So when you reach a crossroads, you'll recognize that everyone has a cross to bear. Everyone is carrying some weight. One of the best pieces of advice that I got from my father and going into ministry was always be aware that there are people in your congregation who need more grace than you will ever be able to manage in one sermon. Maybe that's why the saying is so true, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Jesus never said being a disciple would be pain-free, but traveling with Jesus means your luggage is the weight of a cross. For some, it might mean carrying the burdens of others, those who are marginalized, even if you are ridiculed for it. Because the crosses we carry may differ, but all of our burdens are on the cross of Christ. So Jesus loves to travel and never settles in. And it's not a gospel of despair, and it's not a gospel of power. It's not a gospel of lording something over you. It's a gospel of joy on the journey with Christ, with great responsibility and great weight. But Christ says, "Behold, my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You didn't know you signed up for this when you came to Discipleship 101. That's why it's so important for us to teach about the crossroads of life. Because it's not taught often in the curriculum in churches. It's not often taught about in the intro courses. It may not even be covered on the Connect meeting that we have on September 29th for new members or those who are interested in joining. I don't know, you could feel free to change the curriculum if you want to. But we hear about it because it calls us to a way of life. Even though it's not good PR, it is the truth. To detach ourselves from the world and to attach ourselves to the cross of Christ. To be his body. To walk with him where he walks. Because it is the cross that connects us and unites us. As disciples, we are always crossing and intermingling. One of the things that I love is medieval and Gothic church architecture. The cathedrals that are built in the shape of a cross. Because the arches come down at the corners of where the cross meets, where the nave meets the altar, where the transepts meet the crypt, where everything and everyone passes by and through. The weight of the roof is borne in the crosshairs, in the crossroads. And those most important cornerstones are the places where we carry our burdens into church and out of church, into this world and out of this world. And the stone that the builders reject becomes the chief cornerstone, more than able to carry our burdens. The truth for us is that there is good news. And the lesson, the final lesson I have for you today in Discipleship 101, is that Christ blesses us with a cross, not to burden us, but to free us from a false sense of security apart from Christ, to free us enough to live the life for which Christ has died, to free us enough not to allow our possessions or people to possess us and lure us down a road we would ultimately regret, because the cross causes us to be honest, to be truth tellers, to become acquainted with God through grief and sorrow and the weight of life, while being set free from the things that would own us and seek to drag us down. And so the question remains at the end of this first class of Discipleship 101 is, what direction will you let the cross take you? And when Jesus hits the road, will you be going with him? Because Jesus wants to bless you and not make your life harder. Discipleship 101 is not meant to be a drain. It is meant to be a blessing. It is not to talk down to you, but to instruct you and to invite you. And so I hope that Discipleship 101 doesn't scare you. But I do want you to remember your homework, your first assignment, and your forever assignment as a disciple of Jesus Christ: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. Never stop learning, disciples. So if you have questions about your homework, my office hours are always open. They're posted on the website. And I encourage you to go home and to read your syllabus. You'll find everything you need in there. Because as disciples of Christ, we go out and we meet Christ at the crossroads to carry the cross of Christ. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.